Isn't that a pleasant thought? Wouldn't you like to have a mansion, a robe, and a crown? You can get one just by doing the will of the Lord and getting home in heaven. It's so good to see all of you this morning. God has allowed us to be here because God is good. And all the time, God is good. We're so glad to see each and every one of you this morning. And before we go any further, let us go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, blessed are we this morning because you have raised us up from a night of rest and sleep. I thank you, Lord, for providing a roof over our heads and shelter from the storms last night. I thank you, Father, for allowing us all to be here once again under the sound and the auspices of the Church of Christ, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for everything. My Heavenly Father, I pray for the leaders of this congregation. I pray for all of the families of this congregation. I pray for the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to bless this congregation with your love and your divine guidance toward us, O Lord. Lord, I pray for the sick and the shut in. I pray for all of those who are sick and shut in, Marie Lee, and just all of those, Sister Carter, and just all of those who are in the healing mode. Please continue to heal them as you see fit, O Lord. God, which art in heaven, we are so blessed to be able to call upon the name of our God because you are our God, and we're so thankful for that. I thank you for sending your Son to march up Calvary's hill, hang on yonder's cross, that we might have a right to the tree of life. Thank you, O Lord. Father, I pray for those who have recently lost loved ones, and I pray that you would give them comfort in knowing that no mistake was made, but that that is just a part of living, which is dying. Lord, I know that many of us are without this morning, and I just pray that you give unto those who are without the things that are necessary to sustain them. I pray and thank you, O Heavenly Father, for this congregation. And I pray and ask you to be with us all now as we move into this next portion of our services. Please watch over and keep us in that the things we do may be found favorable and acceptable in thy sight. In the name of Jesus, the one who went to Calvary's hill, mounted the cross, stretched out his arms, hung on the cross that till he died. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The scripture was read for your hearing this morning from Psalms, the 32nd chapter, and it's verse number 8. The Bible says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. This morning we want to talk a bit about let God be your guide. And of course, I'd like to say to the fathers, Happy Father's Day. But this is the Lord's Day, first of all. And we give all honor and praises unto him. Sister Davis will be traveling this week, I believe. And Sister Davis, don't forget to pray for the pilot. He's the one who's got to get you in, at least point the plane in that direction. And you need some help. There you go. Let God be your guide. It's a comforting thought that there to know that there is someone other than ourselves who we can turn to guide our lives. For many times we are incapable of making the right choices about things. For we know that God never makes a mistake, nor will he ever fail to guide us right. Today we extend to the fathers once again and sincere and best thoughts for a blessed and a happy day. So we extend to all the word of God. May you allow God to guide and instruct you in your every endeavor. So the question becomes, whom will God guide? God will guide the meek. In Psalms 25 and verse 9, the Bible says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. He will show mercy to those who love him and keep his commandments, according to Exodus 20 and 6. Do you all remember that great message given on the mount in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus spoke of the blessed? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He said all these things to bring us to a realization that we need to put God first. How do we know this? Well, notice after going through the message in chapter 6 of Matthew, we find in verse number 33, we find these words: "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Isn't that just like the God we serve, church? He's always giving unto us with the promises of more if we simply will obey his will. Don't you think it's wonderful how Jesus finished up in verse number 34 of that same chapter, chapter 6 of Matthew? This is especially good for all the worriers. He said, "Take no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So in other words, if anything comes up today, allow God to work it out. Don't waste your concerns on tomorrow, for we are not even promised tomorrow. And besides, God's grace can cover it if it does come up anyhow. We need to spend our time on today. We use unwanted worry to mess up our few days. We need to stop trying to fix tomorrow and work on today. Ask him to help you scale today's hill, for tomorrow's mountain can be fixed when and if it comes. Sometimes we just sit around. I'm reminded of the story of the old lady in the rocking chair. She sat on the porch and rocked all day long, and at the end of the day, she still hadn't gotten anywhere. Let that soak in for a minute. So worrying caused undue and unnecessary concerns for all of us. So I want you to know that you can't change the outcome of tomorrow. You can only work it within the framework of today, because if tomorrow never comes, why did you worry in the first place? How he guides us. When we allow God to guide us, we will always be guided righteously. For he uses the greatest resource ever offered to mankind. And what is that? That is his word. In Psalms 119 and verse 105, the Bible says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Psalms 119 division is the longest psalm in the Bible. It speaks mainly of the law of God, yet it is still contains God's truth. God also used the Holy Spirit to guide us. Notice what Jesus said in John 16 and verse 13 about the Spirit. "Howbeit that when the Spirit of the truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." He will not speak of things that he has not heard. He will speak of what he knows. That's the Holy Spirit at work. We need the Lord to give us guidance in our lives. This is for all of us. But fathers, especially you, for it is supposed to be you who is the head of the family. So I say to you today in particular, And it's not an easy thing to do. We need someone to guide us through this maze called life. And God knows just how to do it, and he knows the tools he needs to use. Now, any parent who tries to lead their children needs to know God first. For he is the only resource who shall lead us in righteousness. Do you recall what David said in the 23rd Psalm, where he started off by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But in verse number 3, this is the verse that I like. He says, "He restoreth my soul." Putting it all in perspective, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the path of righteousness. We don't need to go through life attempting to figure life out. Just ask God to guide us, and for he can guide us. Then we can also be like David and say what he said in verse number 5. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Church, we need the Lord to guide us. We need the Lord's guidance. How good is God to us, church? He's good all the time, and to us, and it's us that doesn't treat him right sometimes. Not all of us. Not all the time, but sometimes we leave him out of the picture. We leave him out of the picture of our lives. That's not the right thing to do, but we sometimes get beside ourselves. We second guess God. We may not say it, but we second guess God. "Lord, you ain't fixing what I asked you to fix fast enough. I think I can do it better myself." And then we take back what we've given to him in the first place. Now, that's the wrong thing to do. God wants to guide us in all life affairs. And you probably have figured out by now, this is one of my favorite New Testament scriptures. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." In other words, we need to pray about everything instead of being concerned about stuff. Christians have every right to ask God for what they are seeking. Thanksgiving should be a part of asking God for our needs. Somebody may ask, "What should I ask God to guide me in?" Well, I'll tell you what the scripture tells us. When I go back to Philippians 4 and 6, the scripture says, "In everything by prayer." So you need to ask God for everything. The word "everything" gives us the biggest clue of all in that scripture. It tells us everything. We should ask God to guide us. We should ask him to give us a few choices that we need to ask God to guide us in. And this, somebody may say, "Well, I don't need God to guide me in if asking him where should I go to get a job? Where to work? Where should I go to school? How to save and even spend our money and what to spend our money on?" And when it comes to marriage and raising a family, ask God about it. In Genesis chapter 24, there's a beautiful story of Rebekah and Isaac. And I'm not going to repeat it this morning, but I want you to read it on your own biblical study time. And when you read this story, you will not find the outcome until verse number 67. And I won't give away the outcome of it, but read through chapter 24 and go all the way to verse 67 if you want to know what happened. To all the fathers today, again, I say, let God be your guide to raising your children up, that they may, through your example, allow God into their lives as well. In our text, the psalmist is telling the people to praise and trust in the Lord for guidance. This is what we should be doing. We should never be far from our hearts in offering praises unto God. For he has brought us from where we were to where we are today. And I'll admit some of us are still where we were yesterday. But some of us have moved a little bit. When I think about the words of that back in the day hymn that goes something like this. Where could I go? Where could I go but to the Lord? Seeking a friend to save me in the end. Tell me, where could I go but to the Lord? This is the time we should be thankful to God for His guidance. In Revelation chapter 7 and the verses number 17, for the Lord which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into the living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What better guidance could we ask for? What more do we need than that? Now when I think about it, and I consider what the world has told us today, they told us it's Father's Day. They tell us it's Father's Day, and they tell us to go out and spend money for Father's Day. And some of us fall into that same old trap, outspending what your wallet contains. We spend money on what we don't need for what we want. And so I'm saying to you this morning, let God be your guide. God will tell you where to spend your money if you just ask Him. Let God be our guide. And when I consider even more so, Market Street will tell us all about everything we need to know about spending money, because it's going in their pockets from your pockets. And so we need to consider and ask God to be our guide. Now, I'm not saying that you don't supposed to spend money. That's why you have money, so you can spend it on the things you want and the things you need. But nevertheless, some of us go overboard with it. One of the worst things that is new and come up in our day with technology is now people don't have to go to the malls to shop anymore. They can shop right from their home computer, and that's a mistake on some of our parts. We shop forever, and that old saying, shop until you drop, well, shop until you fall asleep at the computer screen. That's what some of us do. But I'll tell you something about that, church. We need to consider some things before we go any further with that. We need to consider that unless you ask God to guide you, you will always fall into a trap. And that trap is overspending. And then at the end of the month, you get a little envelope, and that envelope contains the bill for what you shop for. And you say to yourself sometime, I really don't have this. But it's got to be paid. So you start asking God to help you pay that bill. But you didn't ask Him before you spent that money. So you need to let God be your guide. And I'm so thankful this morning that God is the best guide that I know. The Word of God says once again, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. That was David speaking to the people of that time. And I want you to know that those instructions still are applicable today. God will guide us. God will lead us. God will instruct us. God will teach us all the things of this life that we need to know. And you know something? Life is not always easy. Life is not always easy. Life sometimes throws us what we call a curveball. We're looking for it to come straight down the middle of the plate, and it curves and sinks down, and we start wondering what happened. Well, did you consult God? Did you ask Him to guide you? Did you ask Him to give you instruction and show you what to do? You know, I've learned one thing, if I learn anything in this life, that God is able to instruct us, God is able to teach us, God is able to give us wisdom. If you like wisdom, the Bible says, ask God and he will give it to you. Now, wisdom and guidance go hand in hand. They go hand in hand because one without the other one is no good. And I say to you this morning, ask God to guide you. And especially to the fathers this morning, I say once again, you need to ask God to allow you to guide your family in matters of raising the family. Because raising a family today is not easy, and I say this almost every time I stand before you. It's not easy out there. I'm glad today that I don't have any young children. My kids are all adults. They got their own families to raise, and I appreciate them for not putting them on me. I appreciate that they take the instructions of fatherhood and motherhood not lightly, but they take it seriously. And with that, I'm so happy. So if you want guidance, proper guidance, ask God to guide you and lead you. Ask God for his guidance. And then you'll understand why I repeated the words of that song a few minutes ago. I'm seeking a friend to save me in the end. Tell me, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go but to the Lord? Where, oh, where could I go but to the Lord? You know, it's never been promised that life was going to be easy for us, but it's never been told to us either that it's going to be so hard. So I say to you today, you need this guidance that the Bible offers us. You need to be able to stand with the Lord and know that the Lord is with you and know that the Lord stands by you and that the Lord will support you in anything you ask if you but simply obey his will. Now with that said, as I bring the lesson to a close, you know, when I consider how magnificent the world is, God couldn't have made it better with any of our help, but the way he made it to himself. And God created and brought together all the things in this life that we need to sustain us. You know, it's not God's fault that there are people in the world that are hungry. It's not God's fault that people in the world are without what they need, because he promised to give us all that we need if we just serve him. Now, when you consider how good God is, isn't it wonderful to know that God will do just what he needs to do for you as well as he will for me and as well as he will for all of us? I'm so glad this morning that all of you came out. I'm glad to see each and every one of you this morning, because when I stand up in the pulpit there and I look out and I see the missing, it concerns me. It concerns me that if they're not sick, the concern goes to the question in my mind is, where are they? And when I ask that question of in my mind of where are they, I come up with all kinds of answers. I can even come up with the answer that they just didn't want to serve God today. I could come up with an answer that says they may be visiting another congregation today. But I don't know the answer until I'm told the answer. But what puzzles me even more than that is, where are those who are not usually in the audience? Where are they at? The ones who have never obeyed the Lord in the pardoning of their sins. Now, this auditorium We should be sitting butted up against each other. But we're not. So where are they? Somebody didn't feel enough to come out to serve the Lord this morning. Some didn't feel the movement of the Spirit within them, I guess. Some didn't ask God, where should I go to this morning? They decided on their own to go somewhere else or to do something else. Now, when I consider the matter at hand, how good God is to all of us, you know, believe it or not, and you may not believe this, but God didn't have to wake us up this morning. He didn't have to prop open that sleepy eyelid that you had closed for the night last night. He didn't have to give you shelter from the storms of last night. He didn't have to give you food to put in your stomach this morning. He didn't have to do any of that, but he did that anyway. He didn't have to love us, but he loved us anyway. He didn't have to send his only begotten son down here to hang, bleed, and die on our behalf. But he did anyway. That's because God is good. God doesn't want to see any of us perish. But it's us who fight God. God doesn't fight us. And I know this morning there may be some that are saying to themselves, it's Father's Day and I'm not going to church this morning. I'm going to wait for my kids to call me and wish me a happy Father's Day. I'm going to wait for my kids to come by and drop me off a gift. We all like gifts. But somewhere in between all of that, they needed to be in church. They needed to be in the household of the Lord. They needed to be where they could serve God in spirit and in truth. And I may as well tell you, you can't serve God in spirit and truth at home on your computer. It just doesn't work. You are supposed to be here, Hebrews 10:25, when the doors of the church are open, where they assemble themselves together. That's where we need to be. Now, I thank God this morning for this privilege and this opportunity. I don't know how many more risings of the sun I'll see, and I don't know how many more risings of the sun you'll see, and I don't know how many Lord's Day we'll see before we're everlastingly put out of here, out of this world. But I know this one thing, you had that opportunity today, and you should have taken that opportunity today. Now, I know there are some that are sick and they can't make it. They couldn't make it. But if you're not sick, you're not working, you should have been here. This should have been your job if you didn't have to go to your regular job. This is your job. This is your reasonable service. And you need to be here. Now, when I consider how good God is, I think a lot of times about what God has done for us. And I don't have time, unless y'all want to be here for a little while, to name most of the stuff that God has done for us. I know it's not football season, Brother Hill, but I got to go and see the baseball game. So I'm not going to keep you that long. See, I do watch some sports. I just don't like football. But nevertheless, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And he should be here. And if you're not here, take a message home to your loved ones that are not here. Tell them to meet you here next Sunday morning. Be here with you next Sunday morning. For the Lord is good and the Lord is able and willing to reach out and reach down and touch us. Amen. Now, with that said, somebody may say, well, I want to be a part of the worship service. I want to be a part of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do I do that? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and Brother Jackson will be glad to baptize you in the pool right here. But if you've already taken that step, but somewhere you went astray, you can come back by asking the Lord to forgive you coming forward. Ask the church to pray with and for you that you may grow strong. And I always like to tell you, don't be ashamed if you come up here. Turn around, face the audience, and say to the audience, I need your help. You don't have to tell us what you did, what's wrong. Just let us know that you need the prayer of the church. And I thank God for the prayer, as long as I got another minute or two. I thank God for the prayers of the church. I thank God for the prayers on my behalf, on Sister Carter's behalf. I just thank you for all your prayers. And don't ever think that I don't need your prayers, because I do. I'm just like the rest of us. We all need prayer. And I'm willing to accept your prayer. And like I always like to say, I'm going to pray for you whether you pray for me or not. I'm still going to pray for you. So just keep praying for me. And I'll keep praying for you as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.